I come to you with the title for today, Spiritual Pedicures. Spiritual Pedicures. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, have you had your spiritual pedicure? Amen. Amen. So glad to have my wife here with me today. She's here from Kansas. She's been here for the past week. We celebrated her birthday and so forth. So glad to have her with me this morning. She'll be leaving back for Kansas early in the morning tomorrow. So family will be coming over today to see her off and everything. But it's, we've had a wonderful time. And then in that time that we been spending together on her birthday, she woke up in the morning and she said, I'm going to get a pedicure. And I said, okay. And then she said, well, are you going to come with me? And immediately my mind flashed back to the last time I went with her to get a pedicure. And the poor lady that did my feet, my goodness, I had her sweating. My feet were so bad and calloused. And by the time she got through with my feet, looked like there was like a sand pile there. Just, I don't know. It wasn't too good. So I thought of that immediately, and I said, nah, you go ahead and go. You go ahead and go, and I'll just continue to bear to look at my ugly feet. Because, you know, feet aren't a pretty thing. You know, on my office desk, I have a picture of my wife and her face. I don't have a picture of her feet. I have a picture of her face. You know, so feet aren't pretty things. But in the scriptures here, Jesus comes to his disciples, and it's on a Thursday, and we know it's a Thursday because it's a day before he goes and dies on the cross, which was a Friday. So the day before he goes to die on the cross, he wants to teach his disciples one more lesson. And Jesus teaches his disciples all the way to the end. And that's a mess. That's a message there in itself for us, that we, and we're all ministers, we're ministers of reconciliation, the Bible says, that we never retire. We never retire. I mean, we may, you know, pastor may retire one day from being a pastor, but he never retired from ministering the word of God. And Jesus never retired while he was on earth. He never retired from ministering God's word. And he has one more message for his disciples here, one important message here for his disciples. Another message for his disciples, and what he does is washes their feet. And why does he wash their feet? And why is this lesson so important? And why does he demonstrate this lesson through washing their feet? And first of all, in verses 2 and 3, Jesus describes how high he is. He says, and supper being ended, the devil having steadily put into his heart, Judas Iscariot, his son, betray him. Then verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God. God had given all things into his hands. He had come from God, and now he's about to go back to God. That means he is a divine being, and God has given him all power into his hands. So what does this divine being do with all this power he has? If anybody deserved to be served, Jesus is the man to be served. He's a man with all power. He's a man that came from God, and he was the man that was going back to God to sit on the right hand of God. So if any man deserved to be served, Jesus deserved to be served. But what does he do? He goes, and in verse 4 it says, he rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. So he ungirded himself, which means he took off his honorable clothes, and he was down to his underwear, which is dishonorable clothes. Okay, we wear clothes, and we wear honorable clothes because we want to be seen in our clothes. We don't walk around in public in our underwear, do we? So he stripped himself and he went low. He went low. So what is Jesus telling us to do? He's telling us that he's high and he went low. And he has called us as believers and as Christians to a high calling. And we do have a high calling. The Bible says that we are a holy nation. The Bible says that we are peculiar people, peculiar people. The Bible says so we have a high calling. But because we have this high calling, he is not calling for us to be served. He is calling for us to serve others, just like he served the disciples. And he's demonstrating to this to them. He says, you must go low. You must go low. But then he said, there's one that's not like the others. All 12 disciples were there. All 12 disciples were there. But there was one who was Judas. And he said that Judas was one that was not like him. He said, the lesson is let your whole mindset be that of a servant. Judas did not have this mindset. Judas was not fit to be a believer. Number one, he was not servant-like. He was selfish. He was greedy. He used people. He will use Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He used Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. So even Jesus gave an example of what is not like to be a servant of his. And then the great thing, the amazing thing about this, that Jesus knew this from the beginning. Jesus knew this from the beginning. He chose Judas as one of the disciples, but he was not one of the chosen. So he chose Judas as the disciple, but Jesus knew that his name was not written in the book. In John 6:64, it says, but there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. So Jesus knew. He knew. But he was telling the disciples, these are the characteristics that your heart will have if you are one of the chosen ones. He didn't say you have to do these in order to be with me. He says, if you're chosen, your heart will be like this. Your heart will be like those of a servant. The world feels that happiness comes by being served. But joy doesn't come that way. Now, joy comes by serving. And serving isn't easy. Serving is not easy. Serving is hard sometimes, isn't it? Because in order to serve, you must humble yourself. In order to serve, you must go low. In order to serve others, you must take the back seat and not the front seat. Serving is hard. Serving makes you humble yourself. Serving may even make you cry sometimes. It may even make you cry sometimes to take that lower seat. And you know you have a high calling in God, but you must go low. But my Bible tells me that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So in order to get that joy, we must serve. Even though it may be hard sometimes, we must serve one another. So Jesus is trying to teach this lesson. So what is going on in these 20 verses? Jesus is giving us an example of the kind of person we should be if we are going to be his representatives in the world. Okay? What kind of person should you be to carry this out? The kind of person who goes low in humble service, not puffed up by the rank he or she has in representing Jesus. Amen? Christians of high standing, and that's all of us, we all have a high standing in Christ because Christ paid a huge price for us. So we all have this high standing, but especially those that have a vocational role, such as pastors, such as myself, such as the deacons, we should give ourselves gladly, gladly to low serving. If God has called you to something high, and he's called us all to something high, he's called to glorify him daily in his word and minister to him and minister to others and witness for him. That is a high calling. That is a high calling. Well, he's called to this high calling. In order to do that, we must go low. We must humble ourselves. We must go low and serve others. So if you want to go high, take the high road, hear that saying, you got to take the high road. The high road goes low. The high road goes low. Someone's mad at you. What does the Bible say? Pray for them. Someone persecutes you, bless them. Amen. We'll do those things. We're to take the low road. And so, pastors, go low. Deacons, go low. Ministers, go low. Supervisors on the job, go low. Managers on the job, go low. Principals at school, go low. Teachers at school, go low. Whatever your vocation is, go low. Go low. Be a servant leader. Be a servant leader. So that's one lesson, and that lesson is obvious in the text. It's obvious that Jesus goes low and he serves his other disciples. That's an obvious sign that he says and lesson that he teaches. And there's another lesson that he teaches that's not so obvious. And in that, when Jesus starts to wash his feet, wash the disciples' feet, and it says that the Father put all things under his power. So he's a powerful being. He has all power. He goes down to wash the feet. And when he gets to Philip, when he gets to Peter, Peter says, wait a minute, man. You're not washing my feet. I should be washing your feet. You're not going to wash my feet. And, you know, to me, it would seem to me that Jesus would just say, hey, Peter, just chill out. I'm trying to teach something here. Just let me do this. I'm trying to teach something here. Kind of like when John the Baptist, remember when Jesus went to go get baptized and John the Baptist said, I shouldn't be able to lace your sandals. And Jesus says, yes, I understand, but right now this needs to be fulfilled so that scriptures may be fulfilled, you know, like that. You would think Jesus would do the same thing. But in this, Jesus says, no, if I don't wash your feet, you have nothing to do with me. I don't know if he kindly rebukes him, but it says, if I don't wash your feet, you have nothing to do with me. So Peter, with his smart mind, says, okay, Jesus, not only just my feet then, wash my entire body. I want to be completely washed by you. You know, and I think that was a smart thing for Peter to say. Peter's always trying to be the wise one, you know. And I think everybody, every pastor should have a Peter in their congregation, you know, one that just goes out and say, hey, let's do it. You know, you might have to, you know, put somebody's ear back on, you know, because he did something or, you know, something like that. But, you know, Peter was just a go-getter. He was like, hey, do it all. But Jesus said something very interesting when he said that. He says, you are already completely clean. You are already completely clean. Interesting. He says the only thing that needs to be washed is your feet. Is your feet. And so Jesus washes all the disciples' feet. Now I'm going to get back to Peter in a minute. He begins to wash the disciples' feet, all the disciples' feet. He washes Philip's feet. Philip, who told Jesus it was impossible for him to feed 5,000 hungry people. So what does Jesus do to someone who questions his commands? He washes their feet. Amen. James and John, who lobbied to sit at the Jesus' right and left in heaven. So what does Jesus do with people who use his kingdom for personal advancement? He washes their feet. Peter, who quit trusting Jesus in the storm, who tried to talk Jesus out of going to the cross, who cursed the very name of Jesus and ran and hid. In fact, all of Jesus' followers would flee, leaving him alone with his accusers. Do you ever wonder what God does with the promise breakers? He washes their feet. So Jesus is washing feet, but he's not talking about washing feet here. In this term, we saw that he talked about serving, but now he's talking about forgiveness. Now he's talking about forgiveness. Five facts about forgiveness, and I'll be out your hair. Number one, forgiveness is hard to understand. Forgiveness is hard to understand. In verse 7, Jesus answered and said to Peter, What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. See, Jesus even knew, you're not going to understand this forgiveness thing now, but there's going to come a time when you're going to need a lot of forgiveness. And when Peter denied Jesus and three times, and Jesus told him he was going to do it. But then, you know, we recognize when Jesus came again after he had died, he gave Peter of that. And then said Peter was good. He said, your name, now you're going to be my disciple that's going to go spread my word and have all have the power in you to preach the word. Then he understood then what forgiveness was all about. So sometimes forgiveness is hard to understand. Why should I forgive that person that hurt me so bad? It's a hard thing to understand. But Jesus says, if you want to be a part of him, if you have his heart, you will wash their feet. You will forgive them. Amen. Number two, you cannot be a part of the ministry of Jesus and have a heart of unforgiveness. You must go to him for forgiveness as well as forgive others. Verse 8, he says, Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash your feet, you have no part with me. If you have an unforgiving heart, Jesus says, I have no part with you. Even in the Lord's Prayer, it says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And even after Jesus recited that prayer to his disciples, he emphasized the forgiveness part. He says, so if you don't forgive one another or your brother's trespasses, our God who is in heaven will not forgive you. That's how serious he was about forgiveness. That's how serious he was about washing each other's feet. Fact number three. Being born again saves us from the penalty of sin, but we must still go to God and be forgiven for our sins. This is an interesting thing and a strange thing and a strange truth. When you are born again, you are justified. You have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and your robe is made as white as snow. Strange, isn't it? Washed in red blood coming out white as snow. God is a miraculous God. And he says you are completely clean. You are completely clean. But we must also confess our sins daily so that we may be forgiven. In 1 John 1:8-9, it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So if you say you don't sin, it says you a liar. The truth is not in you. But then verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you are completely clean, yet you daily need cleansing. You are completely clean, but you daily need cleansing. You have been justified by God. So God sees, if you have been born again, God sees you as clean. But as we go through life, we continue to live in this flesh. We continue to do sinful things. We continue to see sinful things with our eyes. We continue to have sinful thoughts. And we must go to God and confess these things. Not saying that when we sin, now we're out. And then we confess and we're back in. No, it doesn't work like that. We are completely whole, like Jesus said. But as we walk through life, that dust gets on our feet. We go to confession, to God. We don't have to go to a person. We don't have to go to somebody in a box and confess our sins, and he tells us to do things. No, when Jesus died, it says the veil was ripped from the top to the bottom. And that's to symbolize that, man, if it was ripped from the bottom to the top, that would kind of symbolize that man did it. But the Bible says it was ripped from the top to the bottom. So now there is, we are completely clean, but yet we must daily confess our sins in order to be clean. Fact number four, you must forgive everyone. Uh-huh. You must forgive everyone, even non- wait a minute, even non-believers? You must forgive everyone, even non-believers. In verses 10 and 11, it said, Jesus said to him, he who is bathed only needs to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. Okay, for he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, you are not all clean. Jesus cleaned all the disciples' feet, but there was one that wasn't completely clean. He washed all the disciples' feet, but there was one that was not completely clean. So there's a non-believer that sins against you or that doesn't like you and keeps on treating you wrong. What are you supposed to do? Wash their feet. That's a hard thing to do. My question to you, who is your Judas in your life? Who is your Judas in your life? Who's that one person or people that keep on getting on your nerves, that don't like you, that are evil to you? Who is your Judas? And what does Jesus say to do to them? Does he say to be mean back to them? They're doing evil to you. Does he say do evil to them? No. Wash their feet. It's not easy, is it? It's not easy being a servant. It's not easy being a believer. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Fact number 5. Forgiving someone blesses you. In verse 17, he says, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. If you know these things and you know them, if you didn't know them before, you know them now. If you know these things, blessed if you do them. Blessed if you do them. So if you want to be blessed, do you want to be blessed? And you are you born again? If you're born again and you truly want to continue to be blessed, do those things that are already in your heart. If you have the Spirit in your heart, it should show. It should show. It is going to show. Okay? Those that are doing evil to you, forgive them. Wash their feet. Wash their feet. Those that are being mean to you, wash their feet. There's a conflict in the church between members. Most definitely, let's wash each other's feet. And daily let us come to the Lord in prayer and say, cleanse my heart. Give me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit in me. Daily, daily, daily. This is what Jesus did for us. Because that was Thursday. And then Friday, he went to the cross. He was falsely accused. And did he say, no, y'all falsely accusing me? He stood there, took his accusation. Why? Because he knew he had to wash us completely and continue to wash our feet. He went up to the cross and he was hung on the cross. And while he was on the cross, first he said, Lord, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? And that at that time when he said that, God had to turn his back on his only son because he had placed all of our sins on him. And God couldn't look at sin, so he turned away and had Jesus take all of our sins on him. God turned his back on his son so that he will not turn his back on you. God turned his back on his son so that he would not have to turn his back on you. On you. And then Jesus said this, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that prayer right there continues to resonate even to today. And on until he comes back again. So that's why we need to confess. And when we confess our sins to the Lord, even though we're completely clean, our name is in the book of life, We come and confess to him. And Jesus hears our prayer and he turns to God. He says, forgive Everett, for he knows not what he does. And then tomorrow, I got to come back and confess. And Jesus hears my prayer and he turns to God. Forgive Everett, for because he knows not what he does. What an amazing God we serve. Give him some praise for an amazing God.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huff Smith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."